CJAM 99.1 FM programming is hosted almost exclusively by community volunteers. The views and opinions expressed on the following program are that of the host and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of CJAM FM. For more information and resources, visit our website at cjam.ca.
Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells.
In this segment of our show, we'll hear a little bit about Cure ARS.
So if you could introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about Cure ARS, that'd be great.
Okay. Hello, my name is Desiree McGee, and I am the co-founder of Cure ARS. We started this nonprofit in 2021, focusing our efforts on the 19 mitochondrial tRNA synthetase gene.
So, how does this affect a person having a mutation in this gene?
The effects for each person can be a little bit differently, but overall, very similar to all mitochondrial diseases affecting the major processes, the brain, the heart, the lungs, anything that is a major consumer of energy can be impacted. Each specific gene can target a specific area of the body as the primary area of concern. And I'll give you an example. My daughter's own condition causes a progressive neurodegenerative white matter disease of the brain. Some of the other conditions, most of them all target the brain as well, but some of them could target the heart. Some of them can have, you know, symptoms in the eyes, and they all generally have lower muscle tone. They can have intellectual disabilities. They can have speech, walking issues, feeding issues. So it is pretty vast in the symptoms that they can cause.
So that being the case, with the whole slew of symptoms you described, is there ever a risk of misdiagnosis?
For sure. In fact, early on, the majority of the patients usually get diagnosed with autism or cerebral palsy. And some of them just get diagnosed as a leukodystrophy if they have brain imaging changes without knowing the true root cause.
So, how do you go about reaching out to the patient community to let them know that you can provide support and information?
Oh, my. So we have a website. We are on, have a large presence on Instagram and Facebook. And we know every researcher in the world that is doing any kind of research on the conditions. So we try to let them know that we're a source for families to come to provide support and advocacy for. And also we're the only organization in the world funding research for these conditions. So through various efforts, you know, consistently using hashtags, using key phrases to each of these genes, getting our name out there, hosting a scientific symposium, applying for grants, winning grants, attending conferences, you know, supporting families through other nonprofits that may come down with the discovery that they have one of the conditions that we represent. The word of mouth spans. I mean, we have families in over 33 countries and we get new families every week.
So, do you know offhand about how many people would be diagnosed with these conditions?
So being that there's 19, the prevalence for mitochondrial disease is 1 in 4,000 in the world. These conditions initially were thought to be extremely rare. Upon diagnosis, my daughter was told to be one of 18 in the world. I have more than 80 families with her gene now, and we believe that there is at least, just by doing like a simple formula based on world population and prevalence, that there's probably at least 500 with just her gene alone. So I think anywhere between the 19 genes, there's somewhere between 500 and 2,000 per gene, approximately.
So, in your time with the organization, is there any success moment or story that stands out for you?
A huge success. We actually were just the recipients of the Chan Zuckerberg Rare Is One Cycle 3 grant, which is an $800,000 grant for 5 years. Unfortunately, this money cannot be used to pay for scientific research, but it can be used for all the other infrastructure for scientific projects, attending conferences, putting together resource materials, translation materials, since I already mentioned how many countries we're in, funding our patient registry to go with our natural history study, and a data analysis data scientist to do analysis of our data that we'll get from the patient registry. And it's just really going to be a pivotal moment for our organization and in growth and awareness.
So what are the next immediate steps for the organization?
So we actually just won also a grant through Global Genes called Research Readiness Fellowship. And the purpose of that grant was to determine the next steps in research and actually put out an RFP. So we gathered the key opinion leaders of the community and industry and researchers and physicians to figure out where we need to put our dollars next to kind of maximize our next project. And we're actually going to a conference. It's kind of like a boot camp of sorts through Ultragenyx, which is an industry partner, to figure out how we can, with the knowledge that we have for rare research, how we can get to an end result, a treatment for a patient, as quickly and cost-effectively as possible. So we're really hoping to lay out that direction in 2025.
So as a parent of a child affected by one of these conditions, do you have any advice for all the other parents out there who might be starting the same journey and asking, what does this mean for my child's future?
Oh my gosh, totally. That is, I've been in this journey. My daughter's 9 now, and she got diagnosed right at 1 year old. At the end of the day, they are your kid, and they don't know that they have a rare disease. They don't know the limitations that they have, and they just want to live life and be loved and celebrate joy every day. So no matter how many doctor's appointments you go to, no matter how little information you get, just remember to take advantage of every moment that comes your way and really enjoy the life that you have with your child.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
In this segment of our show, Jay Yellis will be telling us about CAST for Kids. So what can you tell me about CAST?
Well, I can tell you a lot of things about CAST for Kids. CAST is an acronym for Catch a Special Thrill, and the CAST for Kids Foundation is in its 33rd year. We started way back in 1991, and we're a nonprofit 501c3 charity, And our mission is to enrich the lives of children with special needs and support their families and strengthen communities through the sport of fishing. And we do that with the help of thousands of volunteers across the country. And we have we'll have about 100 events this year, and each event consists of either a boating or shore fishing event where volunteers come and take the kids fishing. Volunteers from the local community. A lot of times, you know, at the boating events, the volunteers bring their boats and they take the kids and their parent or guardian out fishing for about 3 hours, and that's followed by lunch that's served to everybody. And then we have an award ceremony where the kids are honored and they get an award plaque with their photo in it, and everybody cheers for them, and the kids get to talk into the microphone about their day and entertain everybody. they're wonderful kids, and that's why we do it, is to provide an opportunity for them to be celebrated and feel loved and valued by their community, and to get a chance to go fishing and boating, and maybe something that they've never done before. So it's kind of a new experience for a lot of them, and they seem to really enjoy it.
So what are some of the key benefits for a child with special needs being out on the water and just in a group setting?
Well, there's lots of benefits, and the kids just love the event. So the social interaction is huge to begin with, where they get to meet new people from their community, and these new people actually engage them in conversation, and they show a tremendous interest in the child and getting to know the child. And that, according to their parents, is extremely rare. And then the outdoor experience is something that's new to most of them, where they get to spend the day on the water, trying to catch fish. Sometimes they're successful. Actually, most of the time they're successful, but sometimes not. But it's more than just the fishing. It's seeing all the wildlife and being on the water and feeling the wind in their hair as they go across the lake on a boat. And it's just there's a lot of peace that the kids get. We see a lot of children that are very anxious with autism and different situations where they're extremely relaxed and calm when they're on the water fishing. And their parents say, wow, we've never seen our child like this before. And they didn't realize what a soothing effect the outdoors would have on their child. So a lot of the families pick fishing up as a hobby, and it's something that they do on a regular basis once they're introduced to it at a Cast for Kids event. So there's a lot of benefits, and the social benefits, but also the benefits of being outdoors on the water.
So, in your time with Cast for Kids, has there been any success moment or story that stands out for you?
Oh, there's dozens of success moments. I think of one time I was at a Cast for Kids event in Prineville Reservoir in Oregon, and the children were paired with the boaters, and they along with their child's parents, they went out on a boat fishing, and this boat came back in around lunchtime, and they tied up to the dock at the boat ramp, and the mom jumped out of the boat and started running up the boat ramp to where I was at, and her daughter was a nonverbal child, had never spoken before, so here comes the mom running up the boat ramp, and I thought, oh my, they must have caught a big fish. And I said, well, did you guys catch a big one? She said, oh no, we caught plenty of fish, but it's way better than that. My daughter started speaking in the boat today, and I've never heard my daughter say a word before, and she was, I guess her daughter was talking to the fish in the boat, her child had just come alive being out on the water and started speaking, and it was just a huge moment for that family, and that you know, I've seen situations like that so many times. It's just we don't really fully appreciate what a big deal these events are to the kids and their families, where they get a tremendous amount out of it, and there's a lot of benefit for the children. And but that one, that's one of my favorite memories, where that little girl started talking in the boat, talking to the fish and the fishermen, you know, the boat captain and stuff. So pretty cool.
So do you use any modified equipment for those who might need it when they're out on the water?
No, we don't use modified equipment, although it's out there. We have our kids that come to our events have such a wide range of disabilities. I mean, you name it. And so there's, you know, if they were all physically impaired, that would be, you know, missing an arm or something, then that would be something that we'd look into more. But most of it, we handle the kids each. They get to keep a spin cast rod. It's a little Zebco 202, little, you know, 5.5 foot spin casting outfit. And most of the kids handle that really well, and they're able to learn how to cast it and fish with that pole. So we have probably the largest majority of our children that participate in Cast for Kids events are on the autism spectrum. And then after that, we have a lot with Down syndrome and different physical and mental handicaps. But most of these kids can handle a spin cast rod. But I am aware that there are adaptable fishing equipments out there that can help people with physical handicaps. And when people ask, we point them in the right direction to where they can find something like that.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this. But if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thanks. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
So, you're hanging with your inner circle. Maybe you're making a cocktail and having fun. Even when with friends, it's important to remember alcohol and cannabis each mess with your driving skills. Be cool. Make sure you and your friends get home safe. Take a cab if you need to. A few bucks can save a life. Then, you can do it again next weekend. A message from Arrive Alive, Drive Safe.
Welcome back to HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Desiree McGee told us a little bit about Cure ARS, and Jay Yellis told us about Cast for Kids. In this segment of our show, Marianne Ambrose will be telling us a little bit about her new book. So, you were just telling me that you were able to gift some of your books to a school for the deaf. Can you tell me a little about that?
Well, aloha, Cameron, and thank you so much for having me here. I'm Marianne Ambrose. I go by Marianne of Waikiki. It's my author and Apple Game developer name, my sign language name. I was a sign language interpreter in Waikiki, Hawaii for over a decade for a beautiful gentleman who left the island and pursued his passion to become a veterinary assistant. And he is in San Diego. And through my sailing journeys and travels, I have got to promote the Acts of Kindness series books. My first book is Underwater Acts of Kindness for Ocean Cleanup of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch between Hawaii and California. And we dedicated to Boynton Slat from the Ocean Cleanup Group. They're doing amazing work over the years. And I originally started that book over a decade ago. So through the journey, I did a sailing book signing tour in Southwest Florida to Virginia. And when I returned, a special education teacher told me about Donors Choose. And she requested 50 books of Underwater Acts of Kindness. And she was funded in 2 weeks. And the students read the books. And I went out and we shared the books and the puppets and taught the ASL fingerspelling alphabet. So now the world can view all this on our new website, and that's www.actsofkindnessseries.com. So, Cameron, I want to share a story with you, too. I was introduced to Awesome Foundation grants through my writer, Suzanne Sims. She had won an Awesome grant, $1,000, for her play, Thrift Store the Musical. And I applied for Awesome Foundation grant in July of 2024, and I was the winner in 2024.
Excellent.
In July. Yes, so it's really easy. It's an application that anybody can apply for. There's different states in the United States of America, Canada, other countries. There's different chapters for disabilities, on the water, vegan. And so they contacted me, Catherine contacted me and said I was the winner, and they gave me the funds to allocate, in which I did, for several great organizations. So the vision was to bring the Hawaii School for the Deaf my books for October for Anti-Bullying Month. And that's our second book, Rabbit Acts of Kindness, No Bully, featuring Harry the Hard-Hearing Rabbit, Chelsea the Courageous Sign Language Chicken, and Eve the Fingerspelling Bumblebee. So, and through this journey, we created a YouTube channel where you can learn the fingerspelling ASL, ABC alphabets, and do sign language. And then I created online course App Games, too. So again, you can visit www.actsofkindnessseries.com. Now, Cameron, we also partner with Clean Water Foundation founder Leon McLaughlin out of Seattle. And I was in Canada visiting Vancouver with some of the sailing captains that I've sailed with in Mexico. And I got to see your beautiful country of Canada. And I visited the Coquitlam Library. And I met another sign language interpreter and some other deaf people with cochlear implants. And they were all excited to hear about this book and books with characters, with sign language characters. Because no one has done that.
So I'm very curious. What do you think the benefits are for the deaf and the disability community having characters like themselves portrayed? I mean, if you're setting the precedent, doesn't that kind of start a trend of there should be more inclusion, more people like us within storytelling?
Oh, absolutely, because children's books, 3% have characters or children, persons in the books with disabilities. So we are a small population. We're Cameron, we have a 500 million people worldwide now with a hearing loss. We have millions of moms and dads coming home from being of service who can't hear their own children or grandchildren. So it's just not our deaf children growing up with characters. Now we have our older population acquiring hearing loss also, too. So this blends in the Acts of Kindness series, where we are writing about global topics that are happening, such as ocean cleanup, anti-bullying, and now we're finishing the climate change. And Folk Manus has 200 characters. And I met them, I saw them in a tree in the Ala Moana Mall, and with my sign language and my deaf friend, and the creativity just started. So yeah, it takes some time to create this, but it's bigger than more than I thought, because we have a soundtrack. So my vision is to bring these into animation movies with sign language characters and soundtrack by Lucy Lynch in The Perfect Way. And it's a healing journey.
So, in that sense, particularly with young kids, if they're reading these stories at a young age and coming to understand more about themselves, do you think this will be something that will give them that sense of strength and confidence as they grow up?
Absolutely. Especially in this book that we're featuring this month, Rabbit Acts of Kindness, No Bully. And we are going to be gifting that for free next Tuesday with my website, www.actsofkindnessseries.com, and Fussy Librarian. It's a Tuesday sugar-free treat for everybody for the story. And yeah, so this book features a hard-of-hearing rabbit going into a classroom with other schoolmates that have challenges, and they overcome it. But unfortunately, they get bullied by a bullfrog and a female French bulldog named Felicia and Ribbit. So Harry lands on Rabbit Island, and he learns to stand in his power with a magical enchanted tree. And they come together, and they create a sailboat to get back to their school, and they and they welcome the bullies. They have a parade. They have a first birthday luau. And what we find out is that the bullies really don't know sign language. And that's a lack of courage from them as well. And everybody coming to be of service. So this is, I believe, a beautiful story. I've had great compliments from everybody. And to share how we can all come together and be of service. And here we have the tools on our website and YouTube to learn the ASL fingerspelling alphabet at our own home, at our own time, so that we can learn and be part of this bigger deaf and hard of hearing community. Again, we have 500 million people worldwide with a hearing loss now. And people got to experience it during COVID. People got to see what it was like, how hard it was to lip read with masks, how hard it was to hear with social spatial distancing. We saw how people reacted to people, not so kind. And once we get this out there, and the vision is to bring these into animation movies.
Like, thank you for taking time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
I must say, I deeply respect Marianne's efforts to bring literacy to the disability community. Now, literacy is something I feel we've kind of lost in modern times. People are more and more reliant on their phones or other people's opinions to do the thinking for them. However, reaching young people, especially those with disabilities, at that age, teaching them that they can learn and use their skills will help them to grow up with that sense of confidence and strength they should have as citizens in any community. Bringing the gift of reading and insight to these kids might actually show them that they are not alone in this world. They have something to contribute. And knowing that makes all the difference. If you have that misguided perception that says, I'm the only one facing these challenges, of course you're going to feel isolated, and you might even find yourself resisting those who would make an effort to help you. But doing something in a cool, relatable way to reach a young person, to show them they have gifts to offer, not just to their community, but to the world as a whole, can build that sense of community, that sense of strength. A person with a disability is like anyone else in society. At a young age, their minds are shaped, their values tested. They're going to grow up either with that perception of the world is against me, or I don't need to know anything because my phone will think for me, or they can look at the world from the standpoint of, I am an equal person, I have something to contribute, I'm going to explore my skills, my potential. Others may have their perceptions, such as their right, but I'm not going to let them dictate who I am and what I value. I'm going to use the potentials and the skills that I have. And that is the right of anyone in this world. And it all begins at a very young age, I think. When a person with a disability grows up in that community, with that sense of, this is my life as I have known it, it comes more naturally. But a person doesn't know life outside the disability realm. But for a child who acquires one, it can be more difficult, as it can be with an adult or anyone in the older population. When you acquire a disability, having known what it is to live in able-bodied society with the same considerations and respect that they have known, it can feel like a sense of loss. But recognizing that you're not the only one, and that you have gifts, there are people there to build you up, can make all the difference. Be the defining thing between a person who's angry at this world or chooses to better this world. And that, my friends, is what we must all ask ourselves. Who am I going to be, and how am I going to work with the skills I have? This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.